And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa, broadcasting live from the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup right here next to Fisherman's Landing in Point Loma. We have Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Landing talking good fishing here that's going on, and when we get back to it, watch out.
Oh, no doubt, yeah. Man. Yeah, this has been really fun, and it's been an exciting couple hours, and it's got me jonesing so bad to go do this bluefin thing. Hey, we want to hear from you. If you want to join us, give us a call. We'd love to hear your phone call, 833-288-0973. That's how you reach us here at Let's Talk Hookup. Again, 833-288-0973. Not only are we talking all this great fishing to look forward to, we are also giving away such a great prize. Again, if you didn't hear the beginning of the show, so stoked and so generous, Carl and Fisherman's Landing. They're giving us a one-day trip aboard any open party overnight trip at a Fisherman's Landing. So whatever boat's running an open party trip throughout the entire year, you've got the spot coming. And if that wasn't enough, if you wanted to upgrade that to a day and a half, you can just pay the difference, and you can turn that into any day and a half trip on any boat running open party at a Fisherman's Landing.
Sweet.
What a cool prize.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. And lines have been full, but keep on trying. You'll get through. Just keep on rolling there. I want to remind you, you hungry? Everybody hungry? Yeah. Point Loma Seafoods is open, as we all know down here at the San Diego Landings. They're open 7 days a week from 11 to 6 p.m. They're offering fresh fish. The kitchen is open. You can get all their great food to go. And, of course, the Christensen family has been doing that, and they're carrying on that tradition since 1963. So thanks for them to stay open, and the fresh fish array there they have is great. So check it out. Point Loma Seafoods, open 7 days a week.
You got it, man. Well, the phones are packed. Everybody's excited to talk to Carl, so let's jump right into it and talk to Hills, who's calling us from Ventura this morning. What's up, Hills? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm Ventura County beaches are closed, so I'm fishing in a secure and undisclosed location.
My man. Nice. I like it, Hills.
I already dodged the sheriff. He said I was cool because I was keeping it on the down low. But now I'm going to get caught. Hey, I got to fish with Carl. It was a long time ago, man, like 15 years ago on the Malahini when Mikey Schmidt was running it. And Carl was such a chill dude to be around, and he caught more fish than me, and it was all good. But he was a chill dude. But wanted to ask Carl, I would really like to put down a couple deposits this year on some 1.5 days. And a lot of boats don't have their schedules up yet. And are you, like, if I know what dates I want to go, can I try to pay now just to support these boats and then see how it rolls out, or is that lame?
No, absolutely. The last boat is the Condor. I should have their schedule up sometime probably Monday or Tuesday. I'll be in the office on Monday, tomorrow. Call me at 10 o'clock, 10:30. I'll have the phones on. And we could work that out. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, and if you put the money down now and it doesn't go, you can just carry it to the next
trip. Absolutely, yeah. So whatever trip it may be, regardless if it's a full-day trip to whatever the 3 or 4 day trips we have online, we'll get you booked up on there and get you taken care of, stateroom or bunk or anything like that. We'll get you taken care of.
And that's a good point, too, is these boats need your support. I mean, we're all in this together, and these guys are idle right now, and you know, they appreciate the deposits.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And absolutely will be much needed when the time comes when we're going to go fishing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. If it's one thing that the bright side is when we do have to cancel these trips, how many people roll their deposits over the next trip
yeah.
or down the road instead of, like, getting taking a refund. These guys are this. I talk to them on a weekly basis. Hey, you guys are still getting reservations. It gets them through. Like, I mean, some of these guys are kind of bummed out, you know, because they should be fishing.
Absolutely.
And you know, they got family to support and everything, and they love hearing that the fishermen are supporting them even when it's tough times, and to get them through the next month or so. Hopefully, we'll be fishing much sooner than later. And yeah, all these guys need the local supports, like Point Loma Seafood, these guys down here. Yeah, support your local businesses and get them through these tough times, and they'll take care of you down the road when we get you out on the water.
No question about it. Can you imagine the enthusiasm when we get back out on the water?
It's going to be crazy. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, indeed, for sure.
Good and, call, Hills.
Yeah. Hey, Hills, run. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that.
All right, how about we jump right back in and talk to Chuck. Chuck's calling us from Dana Point this morning. Hi, Chuck. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. You know, the enthusiasm, you know who's scratching their heads, the bluefin. Where's all my free chum?
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
And the enthusiasm, I think we should do a shotgun start when we finally get the go-ahead.
Can you imagine? Yeah, all the boats racing away from the dock. Yeah, it'll be fun.
In fact, Sean from Fisherman's Processing was talking about that yesterday, back in the days of the first and only shotgun start they did for the Yellowtail.
It was Day at the Docks they used to hold a big fishing tournament for Day at the Docks, and Sean was telling that story. He said that they decided one year to do a shotgun start, and it was from the dock. So, you know, when they said bang, like all of the boats were like full throttle charging away, and he said all the people that like live on sailboats were complaining that their boats were rocking and rolling and loud. Everybody was flying through the no wake zones to be the first to get out to the receiver into the grounds, and
it didn't work out.
I want to see it again. This is unprecedented times. I'm for it.
100%.
What I called about was just to give you guys props on your shop there. You know, anybody that hasn't lived by somewhere where you can buy your stuff, if you forgot something and you go down there for a trip, you guys got everything that you need plus 10 things you didn't know you needed. And you know, when you're on these boats and you learn your pliers out and stuff, these guys are like plier gurus, like Shaney and Taro down there from Dan Point to you guys. They always notice my pliers. And where'd you get those? Oh, I forgot my pliers one year. And they had these Pro Gear wrap back in the, I think it was like late 80s, 90s, you guys had these. And I got to tell the whole story about how much stuff you guys got. And oh, yeah, about down at Fisherman's. And then he goes, well, your kids got a pair. Well, I forgot them 2 years in a row. But well, the plier grooves get the whole story about your how well you guys are ran down there. And if anything you forgot, you guys have.
Yeah, and you know,
you
that's the thing
that.
About the
can't
fish,
wait to go
fishing.
Fishing.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Good comments there. Appreciate that. That's the thing about Fisherman's Landing Tackle, is if you want something, need something, forget something, not only do they have everything you need to go fishing, they'll have the current knowledge of what's going on. They're at the heartbeat right there at Fisherman's Landing about what's going on. They'll have a heartbeat saying, no, you need this, or you need that Gamakatsu Nautilus circle hook for this occasion, or you need this Seaguar fluorocarbon, or whatever might be the case. That's the thing. You're going to get the current knowledge, but also you're going to get the guys in there that know what's going on.
We are very fortunate that we obviously have the closest relationship possible with all of our boats, and we work very closely with them, so we get very lucky that exactly when the info happens, I mean, we get to hear about it exactly, and a lot of our product is based on what our boats use and believe in and know and like. And then, just like you said, I mean, the guys that we hire are just, they are absolute maniacs for it. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how crazy our crew is about fishing.
Oh,
and
I
feel so bad for those guys.
We could tell stories, but we can't.
Yeah.
Because they get arrested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they'd probably be arrested right this second.
Yeah.
We're stoked. We got a really good group of guys, and we all live it and breathe it. And we got Doug at the helm, and, you know, he is just as crazy as everybody else. It's been a really fun ride.
And that's the thing about Carl, too, is that he's part of that tackle store there at the landing, so he can give you that knowledge, too.
Absolutely.
Right?
The cool part is, if you're going on, say, the Pacific Queen or the Liberty or whatever, and each boat is fishing something a little different, hey, I'm going on the Liberty, and, well, this is working for them. That's how they want you to set up. And the guys in the tackle shop exactly know what each boat wants or how they want to be set up, how every captain likes their stuff rigged up. Or it doesn't matter if it's even out of Fisherman's Landing or one of the other boats like the Vagabond or one of the boats out of H&M or Seaforth. You come to our boats, we talk to them, and, hey, we'll get you set up exactly how that boat wants you to be ready to go fishing.
There you go. Hey, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Rick.
Sounds good. How about Randy in Costa Mesa up next on Let's Talk Hookup? What's up, Randy? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to week three. hey, I wanted to ask Carl about the boats, the day boats and day and a half boats that do leave from Fisherman's Landing, and can he kind of give us a brief rundown on each one, and I'll take the answer off the air.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Randy.
Sure. We have three, four really, like, main overnight day and a half boats. They would be the Condor, the Pacific Queen, the Tomahawk, and the Islander, you know? So the Pacific Queen and the Condor are both basically 90-foot boats. One's 88-foot, one's 90-foot, you know, your basic open party boats, you know. Both of them take about 30 to 34 passengers per trip, you know. The range, I mean, both boats could easily do five-day trips, but, you know, they're not quite set up to do that type of stuff, so they stick to the 1 to 3 day trips, you know. Jimmy on the Condor is a young kid, and Gavin on the Pacific Queen are both young guys. They're hungry. They work really hard at it. The Pacific Queen does have two five-man staterooms. The Condor has two staterooms up on the bow there, then open berthing. The cool thing about Fisherman's Landing that I don't think any of the other landings really do, when you make your reservation, you could reserve your bunk also when you call and make a reservation.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's a really nice. So when you guys, there's no big hurry to get down on the boat and fight over which bunk is whose and stuff
cool.
like
I
that.
I didn't even know that.
Then the Tomahawk, he's new to the landing. He's basically a 65-foot boat, maxed out at 28 passengers with some double-wide bunks.
But I got to say, you said only 65. That is the biggest 65-foot charter boat.
It's big boat.
Huge.
Yeah.
It's huge every way. The aisles are huge, and the bunks are huge. And it's
so,
a big boat.
Yeah, and Bob Fletcher, he's the one that built the boat, so everything's tall on that boat.
Ah,
there's no,
okay.
Like, ducking down. I mean, if you're a 6-foot guy, or you're a big guy and you need the bunks are big.
Yeah.
It's set up for tall people, big people, the up to the side of the rails and some big wide rails and everything like that. Everything's very roomy on that boat.
Yeah.
So that's
and then
nice
you
thing.
Also said Islander does some open parties.
He does. He's about a 50-50 mix on charters and open parties. You know, he's more set up as a long-range guy, overnight, day and a half, two-and-a-half-day boats. That's what he does a lot
and
of.
And that boat's so comfortable. All stateroom accommodations.
All
stateroom. It's a long-range boat.
Yeah. It's set up as a long-range boat, you know. Very comfortable. 28 people really at the max on, like, the day and a half. So when he gets in his two-and-a-half, three-day trips, 22 to 24 passengers, 25 passengers, something like that.
Yeah.
And all these guys have been doing it really a long time, you know. Gavin, he's probably one of the younger kids, probably as hungry as I've seen anyone in this business. Works really hard. John works really hard. Jimmy does. Joe is running the Tomahawk now after Jeff left. Used to run the qualifier.
Joe's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe's been around.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
It shows because he was crushing those bluefins when we were still doing those early season trips. I mean, those guys have been
I fished with him on the qualifier 1-5 many times.
That's cool.
And then he went to go commercial fishing for a couple decades, I guess. Yeah, and now
he's back. Yeah, so I don't know how it all worked out. Jeff got the Outrider. Somehow Eric started talking to Joe and got Joe to come back to sport fishing. And now
super good guy, too.
Yep.
Yeah, indeed. That's a nice deal.
And then – oh, go ahead, please.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the other thing that's exciting, I mean, you know, it's a bummer that they had to cancel the trips, but the writing was on the wall, what Captain Frank Lopresti was talking about, of the opportunities on day and a half. So I bet we're going to see a lot of those long-range boats – you know, once this thing kicks off, sprinkling in some of those day-and-a-half opportunities, Searcher, Royal Polaris, Royal Star, you know, I see all those guys being able to sprinkle some day-and-a-halves in there as well.
Yeah. And Joe and Jason on the Pegasus, they're going to run some day-and-a-halves when they get started and stuff. So he's going to take, like, 18 passengers or 16 passengers day-and-a-halves, you know, very comfortable, cool boats on that, like the Fortune and the Pegasus and stuff like that.
And let us not forget that the world's largest long-range fleet is right there at Fisherman's Landing, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we got the XL. I'm sure the Royal Star is going to – I know they're as soon as they get the green light, you know, some of these guys might have to cancel some of those 5 to 8 day, 7 day trips in the spring. If that's the case, they'll just throw some day-and-a-half, three-and-a-half-day or 3 day trips on there to get you all on the local grounds and go bluefin tuna fishing. You know, the nice thing when the long-range boats do it It is a little more, but it's all your meals included, all your permits, everything is pretty much included in the
trip.
Stateroom accommodations. You get on the boat. You don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah. I love
it. God, I want to go. Yeah. I want to go so bad right now. This is killing me.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it, man. John and Escondido is up next on Let's Talk Cook-Off. Hi, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, so my question is that I was very fortunate that I got to go to Long Beach show, and I got all my gear and everything like that, so I just chomping at the bit to use my new gear. But when, and listen to you guys talk a lot, drag is very important, especially when you first hook that fish, so it doesn't get, you know, down to the, you know, so you don't get spooled. So how do you determine from 30-pound, 40-pound, 50-pound, 60-pound, and your rod and reel setup, what's the best drag for that setup?
So your drag should be, what, at 15% of whatever pound test?
I mean, yes. So there's two ways to go about it. You could scale your drag, and somewhere between 15 and 30% of your line breaking strength would be a lower end to a middle high end rating. And if you wanted to scale all of those things, you could. I always have and forever think the better move would just be to grab a crew member, grab a Carl, grab a guy that's working on the boat, and just say, hey, man, I'm fishing 40 pound on this. How does this drag pressure feel to you?
That's what I just pull it, and I mean, just know what it's right, you know? Yeah, grab a crew member, grab the captain, whoever, and set your drag. And the most important, have it set before your bait ever goes in the water.
Yes.
Number one mistake, someone casts his bait, gets bit, drag's too loose, misses the bite, drag is too tight, pops the hook or breaks the line. Have your drag set correctly before you get in the water, and don't touch your drag, you know. Have it set, and you set it and forget it. So yeah. Don't be messing with your drag, tightening and loosening it when you're fighting the fish.
And there's a lot of people that err on the side of both ways, too. Their drag's too loose, their drag's too tight. That's why you need to know what you're doing or ask a crew member.
Yeah. And maybe do both, you know. Maybe, you know, set your 25, you know, 25% is a very easy number to figure out. Maybe set your 25% with your scale just so you can get things close, and then at least you'll be in the range. And then, but man, I just think it takes 2 seconds to just grab your crew member and just be, hey man, I'm fishing 50 pound, what do you think? I still do it. I work in a tackle store every day of my life for the last 20 years, and there's no reason not to. It's either assurance that you've got it set right, or it's fixing a problem that might come down the road.
And I still like to err on the side of a little tighter than a little looser, myself.
Yeah. I do, too. Yeah. And the thing is, a crew member could be walking by to doing something, and, hey, can you test my – it literally takes them 2 seconds to do it. You're good, not adjust it, test it again, and be on his way again. That's totally. the only thing you have.
And do the old bumper trip, too. You will – I mean, if you haven't done this, it is so hard to break 40 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And if you don't believe it, tie it off to your bumper.
Try
it. Start pulling on 40 pound and see how hard you can pull on that.
You can pull hard.
That for sure is like one of the best parts about going on one of those longer range style trips. You know, if you've done a lot of full day to day and a half type fishing, especially now that we're starting to catch a lot of big fish close to home, the best thing that you learn when you do one of those long trips is how hard you can actually pull on your gear.
Yeah.
And then once you realize that and you transfer it back to fishing more locally, you're just amazed at how much more pressure you can put on most of those fish, especially with the gear that we have now. You know, longer rods that have a lot of lift and reels that have so much power. You for the most part, I think most people probably put a lot less into what they could be doing when they're pulling on a big one.
Yeah. My thought is, too, and you guys tell me if you agree with this, is I think that rather than if the drag's too tight, you're going to pull the hook before you're going to break the line.
I would say a lot of times, sure. Yeah. And I think be smart about how you apply that drag. Like, I'm the same as Pete. I fish a lot of drag, probably more than I should, but I'm also aware that that's what my drag setting is. And I mostly, like most of my live bait fishing is with a Talica, which is a lever drag reel, which makes it easier to fish a high amount of drag. So when I get a bite, I put my reel into gear, but I don't push my lever all the way to strike. Like, as soon as I get a bite, especially if we're fishing, you know, bigger tuna, I might have that lever only forward a quarter of an inch or a half an inch or so. Enough drag that the hook is going to get into that thing, and he's going to let that initial burst of line come off the reel. Like, let him, you know, absorb a bunch of that energy and burst and get nice and far away from the boat. And then once that first run slows and settles down, then I'll bump all the way up to strike, which is a lot more drag. But it saves you from busting them off in that initial shock. You know, if you go from zero to too much while that thing has got its biggest burst of speed away from you, that's when you'll see maybe your line busting off. It's very rare to break your line when things are nice and slow and steady pull. It's a whole other thing if you snap it as fast as you can.
Yeah.
So as long as you can avoid that initial burst of run, then you can put some real heat on those things and usually make them happen.
Yeah, and when your drag is too tight, that's when most people lose fish with that first initial run, you know.
Yeah.
Like Ricky was saying, he only has it set up a quarter or a half, whatever it may be. And when that fish is done with its first run, then it settles in and it's not taking 100 yards out in a second. You're not normally going to pull a hook or break a hook, even if your line is a little too tight.
Yeah, and then, of course, you've got the deer in the headlights factor, where you're like you're all excited, all right? You're fishing a lever drag, you're all excited, and you just throw that thing right up the strike.
Too, man.
If you do that, set it a little lighter at strike.
Yeah, you're right.
And then go forward past strike when that time comes when you can put a little more pressure on.
That's it.
But you just got to, unless you can just, like, breathe through your nose.
Yeah.
which that's hard to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Easier said than done. Like, for big fish fishing, when I hook a fish, I just push that lever forward about a quarter of an inch. When it's done making its initial run, I put the thing into strike. And a lot of those fish, you can usually feel when they're about to go again. They'll usually shake their head or beat their tail a little bit before they feel like they're coming. There's no problem in backing the drag back off a little bit. And if it's a really nice one and that fish is, you know, at any point that I can see that thing when it's at color, for me, a lot of the times, I've got that lever now on the button, you know, of strike, where I've pushed it a little farther forward, maybe even all the way forward. Like, if I'm confident that that fish isn't going to be making another run and we're in relatively calm conditions where the boat's not going to be snapping around a whole bunch, I don't want any line coming off that reel. I think that appropriate size line and fish, you're probably not going to break that fish off in a circle. But how many times have all of us seen a fish just circle to death? And, you know, it goes on the high side of the circle, and a guy gets a couple turns on the reel, and then the low side, and he loses those couple turns. And it just stays in that same point forever. Man, if you just, that's when you need to put the heat on them. And you're either going to get them or not, and you got to realize that, you know, sometimes you might break one off. But I bet if you added everything up, you'd probably catch more than you lost if you really put the screws to them once you can see them.
Yeah. Totally agree. Especially when you get into that 50, 60, 80-pound class line. When that fish is that color and, that, like you said, the boat's not rocking back and forth like crazy. You could pull really hard and not have to worry about anything.
The longer that fish is on the line, the more things can go wrong.
Exactly.
That's the factor, man. Yeah. The time clock is almost your worst
pull
enemy.
The hook. Especially with bluefin, you know, chafe the line.
Sure.
You know, something goes, dives under the boat and gets caught in the props.
You start wearing that hole bigger. Every loop that hook is, you know, and now you're close, so there's not as much stretch in the line, so everything is direct. It's just
head shake or something.
Get that thing on the boat.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, more your phone calls, more great info. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727 6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
When it comes to catching big bluefin tuna in local waters, Shimano has the gear proven to land the big ones. You already know the hot jig is the Shimano Butterfly Flatfall Jig, and when you match that with the right tackle system, it makes this great jig even more effective. We suggest you grab a Trix 500 HG and fill it with 80-pound Power Pro Max Quattro. Max Quattro is 25% thinner, which means 25% more line capacity when you hook that giant. Match your new setup with a Therese 70H and you have the power to put the wood to that big bluefin tuna. The Trix 500 HG has the cranking power you need. And with the level wind, you concentrate on fishing your Shimano flatfall and leave the line control to the Trix reel. Hundreds of big fish have been caught on the flatfall. And when you add the Power Pro Max Quattro Trix Therese combo, you'll take your fishing to the next level. See your local dealer or check Shimano.com for all the details. A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time broadcasting live from the Let's Talk Hookup World Headquarters in Point Loma and talking fishing, man.
Yes, indeed. And we want to thank Adam and Dave in the fan studios there for running everything, the phones, the board, the whole deal, doing very smooth. And, of course, our main man, Adam Clark, who's putting those archives up right away after the show, as soon as we can. We get them up on our Let's Talk Hookup app as well as our letstalkhookup.com archives on the website there. So thanks, Adam Clark. Thanks, Adam Kay and Dave, for all your support. We appreciate that. And most of all, thanks to all you out there, too, for all the support during these tough times and our advertisers that are hanging with us and, you know, wanting to know that, you know, we're there for you. And you know, when we get back to it, it's going to be full speed, I can imagine, for sure.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot for all the support we get for Let's Talk Hookup. We're very honored and pleased to be able to still be here for you.
Trust me, I look forward to these 2 hours all week
long.
Yes, indeed. Like, this is, you know, I'm hoping the same way that our audience listens, looks forward to listening to it. It's the same way that I do. This is our break from everything else that's going on. Every time you turn on the news, it's Corona this, and this is shut down, and stay inside, and this is a fun 2 hours of just not dealing with that. I look forward to this so much, man.
Absolutely, and of course, Rob over there at the fan for all his support, and Peter, the management, the whole group over there at the fan have been very supportive during this tough time, so we're very appreciative for all our sponsors, all our listeners, all the people at the fan, so thank you for keeping it rolling here, and we're going to do our best to keep it rolling, and we will get back to it very soon, for sure, no doubt about it. All right, phones are packed. Let's jump into it.
Kyle in San Marcos is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Kyle?
Morning, guys. Hey, first off, I can speak for everyone. I think I can't believe how jealous I am. You guys have figured out a way to put yourself in the epicenter of all the information. Good for you guys. Hey, quick question for you with regards to left-handed reels, and this might be something that I'm looking for a Trix 500 or Vitalica. Have you guys heard any whispers or any rumors that they might be doing those in left-handed reels anytime soon?
Definitely not, unfortunately. 400s and 300s in lefty, but not in the 5. Same with Italica. I don't believe so.
What about Speedmaster?
Yeah. Same. Yeah, yeah. Nothing in left-hand retrieve. Oh. This sounds like so harsh to say this, but it's what I so feel from just seeing it. If you're somebody who's getting into it, if you have even the slightest ability to, if you're a left-handed person, and I so encourage you to try and teach yourself to fish with right-handed tackle for the exact reason that Kyle's talking about is once you really elevate into higher-end, bigger game-type tackle, the amount of gear that comes available in left-hand retrieve really starts to lessen, you know, and I know it's a lot easier said not being a left-handed,
yeah, it's
but
not an easy deal.
But we have a lot of guys that work in our store. You know, we have 3 or 4 of the guys who work in the shop that are all lefties, and they all fish with right-hand gear because that's just what they trained themselves to do. So maybe if your son or daughter is a left-handed and they're really into fishing, do your best to try and teach them that way. Only because of exactly what Kyle's facing. The problem is, you know, Trank's arguably the best casting, you know, Power Pro braid style casting reel available. Doesn't come in left-hand retrieve. Talica, right. no question, the best lever drag 2-speed only available in right hand. So
yeah,
I wish there was. You know, you might seek out somebody like Cal Sheets. You know, somebody that can do some custom machining work. I know back in the day, Cal used to be able to take a Penn International and do it into a left-hander. He still could. So it's possible that they could do something like that, but, you know, even just coatings and materials are different than they were. So it's possible that somebody like Cal might be able to modify something and make it a lefty for you, but as far as whispers from Shimano on left-hand retrieve, nothing that I've heard.
Well, I'm left-handed, and I when I was a kid, that was all that was available was a right-hand retrieve, and that's how I learned, and I wouldn't know how to turn a left-handed
retrieve. Yeah, right.
Other than on a spinning reel, I use a left-hand retrieve on a spinning reel.
I do the same.
Right? So, but I'm left-handed and do the right-hand retrieve. I think it's just all a learned process. But he's, like you say, easier said than done.
Exactly.
Sometimes to switch.
And I take that with a grain of salt. I mean, it's very easy for me to say, oh, just figure it out. I mean, I get it. Like, if somebody told me to, you know, just figure it out and throw a baseball with your left hand, I couldn't do it. You know, so I get what I'm saying. But, man, if somebody's young or has the ability, I just so encourage you. Because the problem is, lesser expensive tackle and lighter weight tackle, a lot of freshwater reels, things like that, a lot of that does come available in left hand. So if you grow up fishing with all that stuff and that's what you know, the problem is once you graduate to that big game stuff, that's when you really start to, when you have a lot less options.
All right. Hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. How about next up, we talk to Doug. Doug's calling us from Montebello this morning. Doug, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, a question for Carl. Suppose that all the party boats are filled up, but you still got room on one boat, so then like 7 guys want to get on, there's only about 5 spots available. What are you supposed to do?
We'll get you on a waiting list. All the boats, if the boats fill up, we'll add however many people on the waiting list. And if a spot opens up, we'll give you a call. Doesn't show up or cancels last minute or whatever. We've had guys cancel, hey, I broke down on the freeway, you know, and call a guy up on the waiting list, you know, the first guy, second guy, third guy, you know. I mean, some of these guys get a waiting list 10, 15 people deep, you know. The reason we do that is so if the spot does open up, we get another guy on the boat, and the guy that has canceled, we get him a refund and stuff like that, or help those guys out also. But, yeah, we'll get you on a waiting list, especially if the trip is 2 months out or a few weeks out. We always get a couple guys canceled for a last minute for who knows what reason, work, family issues, or whatever. And most of the time we get a couple openings and we'll get a first couple guys on the waiting list on the boat.
Things happen all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I see guys make a trip from a waiting list literally every day. You know? I mean, does it always happen? Nope. But, I mean, it happens a lot more than you'd think.
Yeah.
If you know you want to go, especially if you can be somewhat flexible and you want to go on that trip and your gear is packed and you're ready to go, man, get on that waiting list for sure.
Yeah. And there's a few guys like, you know, the Queen or the Condor, you know. All these boats have 40, 50 bunks, you know, like that. We might throw an extra guy on there, open the overbooked spot by one or something like that, and try to accommodate. We do our best to try to accommodate that. But if the trip is supposed to take 33 people, we can't end up selling 37 tickets like that. One person's one thing, but 3 or 4 extra tickets is a big deal.
Most of the boats will overbook by one just
correct.
For the people.
One or two, yeah.
For no show or something like that.
Correct.
Yeah, yep. For sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about next up, Mark calling us from Santee. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up,
good.
Mark?
Great.
that guy just had my question, but here's another question for you. Here's another question. When the boats first go out, are they going to be going out blind, like not knowing where the fish, or, you know, should I make my reservation a couple of weeks later, or?
No, what I would say, what I think will happen, I mean, I haven't talked to Ken from SAC or anything like that, but as soon as we get the green light, I'm sure we'll get the airplane up looking for these fish. We'll have guys that will be commercial fishing giving us reports and getting us on this fish and stuff like that. If I was able to go and you have the ability to get on one of those very first trips, book it. We'll get the plane. I'm sure we'll have the plane up in the air. And it's just not one or two boats that are going to make it out. I bet when we get the green light, there is going to be a dozen boats, eight to 12 boats out fishing, ready to go looking for this bluefin. And they'll all be working together. This past Friday, we had four full boats. We had the Outrider on a two-day trip. We had the Pegasus, the Tomahawk, and the Queen all sold out, day-and-a-half, two-day trips, ready to go. That just out of our landing. I'm sure Point Loma and H&M and Seaforth had a few more boats. There will be plenty of coverage, and I'm sure we'll get the plane up ASAP as soon as we get the green light to find that fish.
I mean, look at the Royal Polaris. You know, nobody had been on that fish in 2 weeks because they were on an 18-day that left right after that quarantine happened. So they were on they were gone out of that zone for 2 weeks with not a single boat on it. They slid up one day into where it should be, and they put together a great score, including fish over 100 pounds. I mean, these guys are the best in the world at getting on that fish. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You give them
shows
water.
You how much fish there is,
exactly.
Too.
Yeah.
You give just them drive into the general zone and wham.
Water charts, great bait information, commercial fishing info that's out there, planes. I mean, the network of information is better in 2020 than it's ever been ever before. And, you know, I mean, they might not be going into it with the trip in front of them, but they certainly aren't going into it blind either.
Yeah, not at all.
When the green flag goes up,
oh, dude,
they'll be on.
It's going to be so on.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning, Mark.
All right. How about Rich and Bradley up next on Let's Talk Hookup? Hi, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Howdy. Up here in my neck of the woods, we've got some weather coming through, and that brought up the question for me. Which fish do you see when you're watching the fish counts that are affected the most by the weather, which are affected the least by the weather, and which are the quickest to recover?
That's some great questions.
I don't know. I've seen fish bite in the nicest weather, and I've seen the tuna bite in some of the worst weather and stuff like that. I think the yellowfin and yellowtail, as soon as that water gets a clean green or blue or whatever, that recovers really fast. I think bluefin maybe take the longest to recover. Sometimes it takes them a little longer to settle in or get back into the zone and stuff like that. They seem just to be a more finicky, picky type of fish versus a yellowfin or yellowtail, but that would be my two cents on that, you know?
Yeah.
So. Plenty good with me. I mean, and you know, the other thing is I think we all use it so often as an excuse as to why things didn't go right. You know what I mean? Like, we've all seen it bite in grease calm, and we've all seen it bite in really crummy weather, but if it's been biting for a couple days and then it got breezy, it's like, well, you know, those things don't like to bite in the wind. And, you know, and then when we were fishing all that big, you know, cow bluefin with a flyer, was always the opposite. Like, we need some wind before we're going to get a bite. You know, they won't bite unless there's a little texture on the water. You know, I think it's often, you know, used as a good excuse as to why we didn't make it happen. But when we did, well, it was because of our angling prowess. You know, it had nothing to do with the weather conditions because I'm the man. You know?
Last year, that yellowfin, late last summer, I mean, it was in decent water, but the decent temperature. It was, you know, upper 60s, but it was in green, ugly water. In any given day, you would have just drive through it, not put a jig out and stuff. But we fished that dirty green water, and we're catching yellowfin for 2 or 3 weeks like that last year. So, I mean, that's one thing to say. I mean, if the fish want to bite, they're going to bite.
They're going to bite, yeah.
The food is there. Oftentimes, the feed is like the ultimate, you know, the ultimate disser of any rules. You know what I mean? If the water's right and the fish are there, they're gonna eat it.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. How about we jump back in, talk to Tom. Tom this morning calling from Temecula. What's up, Tom? Welcome to the show.
Morning, guys. Really enjoyed your little discourse there on drag settings. I thought that was very helpful and informative to all of us. We all need to be a little more aware of what's going on. Okay, up here in Riverside County, they've told everybody that we need to wear masks when we go outside. So I'm going to be wearing my Sunshield fishing mask. It's readily available, and I would think that probably you should be selling a lot of those in the tackle store when you first get opened up there.
I was wearing my AFCO face mask yesterday.
Same, but yeah. It's that same thing. Exactly. When I went to the grocery store, I had one on. And I had a.
So anyway, I am in the high risk area because I'm an older guy, so I will probably be taking that with me all the time when I go fishing now on the sport boats. Carl, I know all the owners down there are taking a hit during this period of time. Is there any hope for getting additional help from the government for these guys that are taking a pretty big hit for losing trips this time of the season here because of this virus?
Yeah, I know I'm pretty sure the landings, all the individual boat owners, they have applied for the
PPP.
The PPP and the disaster and the bank to keep paying their crew and stuff like that. How that stands on individual boats, I don't know. But yes, I know Ken Frankie worked really hard to make sure we were involved with that and be part of that. I know all the boat owners that need it have filled out their forms, and I don't know where they stand on that. But yes, there is help for that, and hopefully all these guys will get the help they need and get through this tough time for sure.
Each one of these boats are a small business.
Yeah.
Thank goodness they put together that package to help save small business.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah,
big
definitely.
Business, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, a lot of people think these guys make a ton of money. And gross-wise, yeah, but most people don't realize how much money it is to keep these boats up and running in tip-top shape and stuff like that. So, and a lot of these guys, like, oh, we had a really good year last year, and they put a ton of money. Pete's down here, and how much money they put into these boats, repainting and mechanics and boat work. I mean, these guys have done a lot of boat work the last 2 or 3 years, and they do definitely need the help right now.
When we had Ken Frankie on the show a couple, was it last week? He was here hours before Pete and I because he was working in his office working on that. I mean, I know that he was very involved. You know, I think he got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, or he got to the office at 4 o'clock in the morning because he was wanting to be the first of people to, offer that to his fleet to get the word out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, let's just hope that those all come through and those guys are able to ride out this storm.
Yeah, we will ride out this storm.
Exactly.
For sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Be sure to check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. You know, they're combining the North and the South issues now.
Oh, cool.
Check out that striper on the beach.
That's a serious striper.
Oh, man, that is like, how would you like to hook into that on the beach, right? I'm sure that's a Northern California picture, but boy, that would be something else. But lots of good information in there, turkey hunting and shooting and everything else. Check it out, this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. And, of course, you can always look up who's going to be our guest on Let's Talk Hookup this week in Western Outdoor News every week. For example, next week we'll have Captain Tim Ekstrom on the Royal Star. We'll be here next Saturday. And then next Sunday, surf fishing expert Bill Varney will be joining us. So that'll be a couple
of
great shows next Saturday and Sunday.
All right. Well, hey, the phones are packed. Everybody's excited to talk to Carl. Let's jump back in and talk to John. John's calling from Colorado Springs. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. You put on a really great show, and I just wanted to thank you and ask a question. If instead of 2 days a week, can you do 7 days a week?
Well, wish we could, but, there's other news in the world, right, besides fishing news. But thank you for that.
That's
appreciate
cool,
that.
Buddy.
Are you listening to us on the app in Colorado Springs?
Yes, I am, and it's a great app for anybody that's in the country and the world. A couple of years ago, I went to Paris, and I talked to you guys from Paris. So
nice.
You guys have a great app, and I think that you guys are doing a wonderful job in these tough times that we have, and keep it up.
Thanks, John.
I appreciate the call this morning, John. Thanks, and we'll keep going here.
Yeah, I'm going to be here. That's for
sure.
One way or another, we'll be here.
Yeah. Exactly. Harold in Harbor City is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Harold.
Hi, guys. Yeah, one of the previous callers had a similar question. I was wondering, has there been any discussion at the landing to require passengers to wear masks?
No, there hasn't been anything like that. And obviously, if any of the health officials or local or state government recommends that or makes that a thing, we'll definitely abide by it. And we'll take any recommendations and follow suit with whatever they recommend and do, you know. If you guys, people want to come on the boat and wear them, we totally support that, you know. But yeah, as of right now, we're just taking the information as it comes in. And if that's what they recommend, we'll definitely do it.
What kind of sideline things it seemed like was the gatherings. Like yeah. That's what got us so... You know, the masks is the latest thing that they want everybody to do. You know, when you're out for your essentials and you're out making your run, they, you know, ask for the mask. The boats kind of got sidelined before that became a thing. But, you know, it's one of those things, if that is a tool that allows us to get up and running, masks, no
yeah.
problem.
Yeah,
you know, you got
mean, that
it.
Would not hold
and here's the thing, like Tom in Temecula was just talking about, the AFCO face mask, man. What
oh,
a,
yeah.
I wear them anyway
exactly,
when I
yeah.
go fishing because it protects you from the sun, which
yep.
is damaging in itself. But if it's a twofold purpose, why not just wear the mask on the boat?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing with the boats right now is the 6-foot rule thing there
yeah.
in the gatherings. But the 6-foot rule is the hardest thing to get around because, you're on a boat and you're moving around. It's very hard
especially in overnight boats.
Yeah, and when you got 30 people, it's hard to do. You know, when you're on a half-day trip or a full-day trip and you're anchored up and, you know, you keep it limited to so many people, you can kind of control that. But on a tuna boat, that's really hard to do and
yeah.
stuff like that. But
no doubt.
Whatever recommendations they do, we will follow and make yep. sure we get you guys, especially a mask. That's not going to stop us from fishing at all.
We all want to get through this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. Let's jump back into them and talk to John. John's calling us from San Diego this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I enjoyed the show this morning. And I wanted to ask Carl, you had any tips on finding parking spots over at Fisherman's Landing? So popular.
Hey, there's wide open.
Wide
like
open right now. Boy, you've never seen
yeah.
so much parking here.
parking the across the street in the Westies parking lot, normally that's your best bet, especially if you're coming down with two people. Come drop your stuff off with your buddy. Drop it in the dock cart. If you're by yourself, we at Fisherman's Landing have a locker you can throw all your stuff in. Go find a parking spot either across the street or one of the side streets. I mean, when I go, I'll park on one of the side streets. You know, never had an issue with that. If you get down past the restaurants here, by past Jimmy's and Pizza Nova, there's some 72-hour parking and 24. If you're only on an overnight trip, you can park in the 24-hour parking spots and stuff like that. If not, a little farther down, 72-hour by the different marinas down there. I normally, during the summer, I park down there, nice little walk along the boardwalk, takes 2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
And if not, show up a couple hours early before your trip. Don't try to get here last minute trying to expect to find a parking spot on a Friday night at 8:30 at night.
The locker, I think, is something that a lot of people don't realize, especially if you're coming in from out of town that don't necessarily take advantage. On the side of our building, we have a locker that is just for people coming to utilize that, and the Westies lot is free. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's literally across the street. It's one half of a block to the west, to the east, excuse me, and it's totally free to park there. And you can just pull right into the Fisherman's Landing parking lot, come grab the key to the storage locker, put all of your gear in there, bring the key back to the landing. It's now locked up and secure. Drive your car a half a block, park totally for free, and then just a half a block, you know, back to the landing, and your gear's already there. You can pull it out of the storage locker when it's time to go for your trip, throw it in the dock cart, and away you go.
Yeah.
And that's just provided for our guys for that scenario. Just, you know, if you don't want to leave your stuff in the back of your car and you want to run down to Point Loma Seafoods and grab a squid sandwich before your trip, it's just a safe spot to lock up your stuff.
And don't leave your gear unattended because it'll
yeah.
be gone.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean
that's just
like anywhere. I mean,
yeah. For sure.
From the Westies parking lot to our front desk is a 2-minute, maybe a 3-minute
yeah,
walk at the most.
It's not that far.
Yeah.
And then if you're on a 7-day trip, you could park over the Westies parking
that's
lot.
Good call too,
you
yeah.
just come into the landing. Hey, I'm parking over there. We give you a little piece of paper.
Because it says 72 hours, but you can get a special permit
to let you park there for longer if you need
to. For a longer
to.
Period.
Yep.
For free.
Okay.
Again,
for free.
You could do
everything's
you could do a 10-day right. trip, no cost parking
yep.
over
yeah.
there.
They were talking about changing that, but that's not going to happen this year.
Not yet.
No.
I think they got their hands
for sure.
full with other things
yeah.
right now.
Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about next up on the phones, we talk to Mitch. And Mitch is calling us from Santee this mm-hmm. morning. Hi, Mitch. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Great show. I got a quick comment and then a question for all of you. man's been to the moon and back. Man invented a cure for polio. Man invented Monday Night Football, but man still can't outthink a fish.
Isn't that true?
Hey, I got a my question is, say they lift the ban on all this and the boats start going out, do you think there's going to be too much pressure on the fish to where they're going to relocate, or do you think there'll be so many fish we're not worried about that?
From what I've been told by the guys that have been fishing, there is more fish out there this year than there has been in the last 2 years combined, it sounds like. I don't think so, no. You know, typical bluefin, I'm sure we'll see it's going to bite really well for a couple of days, and that stuff will probably not bite so well for a couple of days and start biting again. You know, just typical, normal stuff. But I think the first few days or weeks will be very good fishing, you know. And it's not like you're talking about a small area of fish. There's fish from Orange County down to Cedros and everywhere between, you know. Guys from right outside of Point Loma, I'm sure there's fish out by San Clemente probably. There's fish down off of Collinet, Cedros, and all that. There's a ton of fish. There's no lack of fish for sure.
The other is the type of pressure that we put on those fish with hook and line fishing is so much different than commercial pressure is. You know, a spot of fish comes up that's, you know, that's either looking for bait, and a boat like ours slides up to it, puts baits in the water, and we catch fish one at a time. You know, we're just not really disturbing the school like some forms of commercial pressure can. You know, when you're driving nets and pushing that whole school around, it's different. We're just trying to attract that fish to the boat and convince it to hang around a little bit as we pluck ones and twos out of that big school. You know, when you're running over it and trying to corral it with speedboats and put nets around it, you know, that's just a different type of pressure that gets put on that fish. And with the commercial scene being done, I think we're in really good shape.
I mean, even if every boat in the fleet was out there, it's still the pressure is very light comparative to
when it's good fishing, pressure. It's even less. You know, most everybody's drifting. You know, when those things are up and biting and happy, like, you know, the boat gets on it, sprinkles a little bit of bait in the water, the fish gets happy and swimming around the boat, and you just pick it off, and the boat goes into a drift. And then the guy next to him goes into a drift, and, you know, I just don't think that we need to worry about our fleet having the pressure that's going to put them down.
Yeah, and like the area, it's not like we're fishing two or three schools for 50 boats. We're fishing a 50-mile area of fish that the boats could spread out. Everyone could fish different schools of fish and be in different zones and not put a ton of pressure on one area of
fish. One zone, And that should hold through the season this year.
I would think so,
Yeah, let's hope so.
I'm ready for that.
Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Good question.
When we come back, we're going to find out who's going on an overnight trip. We're giving away that one-day pass at a Fisherman's Landing when we return. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Cass Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. For over 20 years, Cass Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips. Whether it's a fishing trip, a family vacation, or an adventure, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 or check CassTours.com.
When it comes to Southern California sport fishing, two names stand out: Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern. We have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater rods and reels, like Talica, Trinidad, and Tranx reels, plus Terramar and Therese rods. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano rod and reel for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering great half- and full-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time. The big winner going fishing on that overnight trip, on any open party trip at a Fisherman's Landing, is going to Kyle in San Marcos. Kyle, congratulations.
You lucky guy.
You are stoked. We'll see you this summer coming fishing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Of course, Carl, full schedule of boats available when the flag goes up.
Yep.
Right? And it's easy. Don't be afraid to book your trip.
Yeah, don't be afraid. Book it. If it doesn't work out, we will work with you 100% one way or another. Get you on a trip, get your money back, move you to a different trip. We will work with you, get you on the water. One way or another, we'll get you on the water.
Yeah, and again, go through the open party boats schedule.
Yeah. It's by end of the week, every boat will have a full schedule up there. The full day and half day stuff, we kind of take a month at a time or a few weeks at a time because that's always changing. You know, one day they're fishing the islands, and the next day they're fishing offshore, so we kind of just plan block schedules for that.
Sure.
But all the overnight trips and longer, I think Scott just texted me earlier this week with their full schedule. We'll have it up there. But the Queen's full schedule is up there. The Islander, the Tomahawk, they're all up there all the way through at least November, I would say.
Yeah. So, all right. So just go online.
Go online, fishermanslanding.com. You could book your reservations there. We'll probably have someone in the office starting Tuesday at least four or five days a week, a couple hours. We'll have that information on our website.
Okay.
If you can't get a hold of us through the phones, email us at info@fishermanslanding.com, and we are checking the emails every single day.
Great. Yep. All right. Hey, good to have you guys there.
Yes.
Thank you very much for being there, and that's fishermanslanding.com. Check it out.
Yep.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks to everybody supporting this program. And you out there, we will be back for you next Saturday and Sunday. Ricky and I will be right here in the world headquarters with Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star. And then next Sunday, Bill Varney, surf fishing expert. Talk a little surf fishing next Sunday. So thanks for listening today. We'll see you. And thanks to the guys in the studio, too, Dave and Adam. And then, of course, Adam on the archives and the Let's Talk Hookup app. And we'll see you next week. Right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.